Good morning. You're tuned in to Listen Local, the bi-weekly webcast from your neighborhood news source, Mission Local. I'm Laura Wenis, and with me in the studio today is Laura Waxman. Hey, Laura.
Good morning.
And it's just the two of us this morning because our third reporter and our giant staff of three is out covering a student walkout from Mission High this morning. Mission High School students, of course, are walking out to protest the election of Donald Trump, which is basically all that we're going to talk about today because, holy shit.
On people's minds. Yeah. I mean, people are upset. People are fearful. Students have really taken action across the country, and now we're seeing it here.
Everybody has taken action across the country, I want to say. Well, not everybody, of course, but I mean, there's walkouts from high schools, there's
colleges,
protests, walkouts from colleges. What else have we seen? I think we've seen a lot of just like coming together from people. People know that minorities, women, you know, LGBT folks feel threatened.
Right.
And I think that's really what we've heard from the mission in the last hours.
Yeah, I mean,
it's fear.
I mean, it's the topic, you know, of the morning. It was the topic last night. I think, I mean, where do we start? You know, I think yesterday it was interesting because just waking up, you know, I was looking at the headlines and I was already dreading it. And I think I went on Twitter and I saw this tweet that was really kind of, I thought it was funny, but kind of like captured the feelings. You know, someone said, it feels like America was just served with divorce papers, you know, and I think a lot of people feel that way. They're just really...
I saw the comparison that America just married the person it was in an abusive relationship with, which I think...
Different perceptions, but we all...
somewhat apt, actually, given the vitriol that kind of has been circulating in this campaign. But let's go back. Let's go back to our coverage of the evening.
Right. It was a long night.
Mission Local was out until just before the polls closed, talking to folks at polling places, asking them, you know, what's on their minds, asking the poll workers, has there been a lot of turnout? How are people feeling? What's going on? And I have to say that, so I was doing the evening dispatch, and my sense was from the three or four polling places that I went to, that the turnout really was happening in the morning.
Okay.
Like, people were really enthusiastic. People turned out. There were lines. You know, one of the poll workers told me 4 years ago when we were reelecting Obama, it was not like this. People were here until way late. You know, his sense was this year people were anxious to see what would happen. People wanted the answer. They wanted to see who it was going to be. And where I was, everybody was certain it was going to be Hillary Clinton. I mean, I talked to people who spoke about it really as if it was a certainty. They were saying, you know, what I'm really excited about is to see our first woman president. I'm blessed that it's going to be our first woman president.
I mean, I think we were all under that impression, let's be honest.
Nationwide, we were.
We thought the same thing. I mean, we talked about it, you know.
Right.
And I know Joe has been following really closely, and so have you, but I think it kind of surprised us all. I have not found, and you know, we can talk about the night, but I did not find a Trump supporter live. I did see a couple of posts, you know, from people that I know on Facebook, which surprised me. I think a couple of people, you know, who are Latino even, and who had children posted that they had voted for Trump.
Why?
I mean, I didn't get into that conversation with them, but it
would
have
been.
And
they didn't say in their post?
I think there was that general sense, you know, that feeling that, you know, what do they always say, the lesser of two evils, and
right.
I mean, that's referring to Clinton usually, but I think there was a lot of distrust for Clinton among them, you know, and one of the women that posted that she had voted for Trump was saying that Hillary is a liar, Clinton is a liar, and you know, that whole spiel. So
it's astonishing to me because in politics, really, I thought we had arrived at this point that all politicians are liars by default. Like, is anyone surprised anymore?
Right. But I mean, that just shows how polarized, you know, this election was. And
yes. And I think locally, it's worth repeating that 10% of San Francisco voted for Donald Trump. That happened.
I mean, what do you think that says about what's going on here?
Well, I think that. So first of all, you know, one thing that strikes me about this on the national scale in terms of journalism and the left and and just like, you know, being in the California bubble is that, you know, this is a group of people that is not heard by the other side. Is right. not perhaps they're heard, but they're not understood. And I think that is something that we are guilty of here too. And we've written about a prominent Trump supporter in the Mission District. I mean, there is an immigration lawyer, a Latino immigration lawyer. I guess that's not technically the Mission District anymore. He works in Bernal Heights. But, you know, nearby.
Right, close enough.
who is an ardent Trump supporter. And, you know, I imagine for him this election was a victory.
Right.
And clearly he's not alone.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm seeing a lot also in like reactions from people that I know who are here in the area that, you know, on one hand, people are saying we have to stick together with people who feel vulnerable. On mm-hmm. the other hand, I see a lot of my friends reaching out, kind of asking, hey, is there anyone that I know who supports this candidate
mm-hmm.
and why? And let me understand better what happened here.
Well, that's in a way a good thing, you know. I mean, yesterday we spoke with Gabriel Medina of Meta,
mm-hmm.
and what did he say about kind of that this election unveiled a lot of issues that we have yeah. in this country, and yeah. now that they are unveiled, you know, sexism, racism, he said the original sin of the founding fathers, you know, slavery, and I think that
genocide of Native Americans.
Exactly. So I think, what was he saying, that now that it's been unveiled, we can work with it better.
Right.
We can work against it.
Yeah, he was talking about how it's sort of come into the light now.
Yeah.
And that sort of people who are working on behalf of immigrants and on behalf of low-income people, that they sort of know better what they're up against now.
Right.
And that, you know, that there's a sense of rolling up our sleeves, I guess, collectively, on the left, on the not even left, whatever, wherever you stand, if you are shocked by the Trump presidency.
Right. So on election night, I definitely did not meet any Trump supporters. Let's put it that way.
Right.
I was kind of bouncing around, you know, just trying to see who was out, who was watching. I started at Meta. There was a party there for Proposition F and Proposition N.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are two really important measures for the immigrant community, for youth in San Francisco.
So F is allowing youth to vote in local elections as of age 16.
Exactly, and that did not pass.
It did not pass. It was 52.74% no to 47.26% yes. So 16-year-olds will not be voting in our future elections until this comes up again. I think this has been brought up previously as a ballot measure, has been defeated before, but right. My sense is that people continue to try because they just always want to reach out to young people.
Right.
And I think there's also a sense of, you know, let's just get more people voting.
Right.
Just more votes.
Come on.
All the civic engagement all the time.
And then also like the conditioning, I guess, of if you start voting early, it's kind of part of your life choice. And
yes,
so I think that was an argument for that.
Yeah, form good habits. Yeah. And then measure N, Proposition N, that one was allowing non-citizens to vote in school board elections only. But that would be people who don't who are not citizens, but they can still voice their opinions because many of the district's children are immigrants.
Right, so that was geared towards the parents, right?
Yes.
Kind of involvement.
Mm-hmm.
So that one passed.
It did. 52.6 to 47.3 in favor of the yes side.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I wasn't expecting that because this also has come up before.
Okay, it has it.
Yeah.
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 Well, it's the time now. I mean, I think it's a great thing, you know, I think.
Yeah, it had widespread support at the Board of Supervisors when it was put on the ballot, too, if I remember correctly. I think there was only one supervisor who voted against putting it on the ballot. So maybe things have shifted a little bit.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I started there. By the time, you know, I was bouncing around, so I had to leave. The chapel was my next stop. And there, they were at capacity. I couldn't even get in. I was probably outside for a good 15 minutes. And when I finally got in, you know, people were very clearly for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people who made jokes about Trump, and it was a kind of a fun environment at first. You know, there was a guy from England who called him a colossal moron. I mean, you know, the same rhetoric, but it's interesting to see the outside, you know, out of California, out of the U.S. perspective. And we're both from Germany, and we both know how that feels.
And I ran into somebody who was voting for the first time after having lived here for 17 years, and he was from France.
Oh, wow.
That was interesting to me, too.
Yeah.
He said it was unsophisticated.
I mean, that's a really good way to put it. I think that's how my family feels too. Yeah. Like, what are you doing here? But yeah, and then I spoke with, you know, there was a lot of, you know, different people there. A woman from Bulgaria, and I think deportation is just such a big fear of people.
Yes.
Regardless, you know, where you're from. But even she, you know, she's from Bulgaria, and she's like, you know, people from Europe may be deported too. You know, and she, not saying that they won't, but she was expressing that fear, that was something that was on her mind. And a lot of people were just really fearful. Like, they were saying they were terrified.
Yeah.
So that was a general sense there.
Something that really struck me in the mission especially, which can sometimes be exuberant when large developments occur. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking here mostly of sports. that everything just sort of fizzled. I was expecting a big, you know, outcry if the unexpected, was the Donald Trump election, were to happen. You know, at the time, I hadn't quite arrived at the fact that yet that yes, indeed, this is reality.
We had hoped to like the last, the very last minute.
Yeah, and then it wasn't.
Yeah,
and then it sort of, you know, I think I kept telling you like, stay. What if something happens? And you were like, they're turning off the TVs.
Yeah. I think people definitely cleared out before the election, you know, before things wrapped up.
Yeah.
And people were crying. I mean, I passed people on the street that were crying. One woman was sobbing on my walk home, you know, at a local bar. So the bartender by my house came out, was smoking a cigarette, gave me a hug and was crying. you know? So it was very emotional for a lot of people.
And it still is. And I think that's what it sort of struck me about what happened afterward is Chris. So yesterday there were protests around the Bay Area, around the country. In San Francisco, we covered the protests that began at Powell and Market streets and then worked its way up Market or down Market, depending on your perspective, to Harvey Milk Plaza. And from there, it went through the Mission, down 20th, up Mission to 24th, back down Valencia, stopped at the Mission Police Station, and then back down Market to City Hall, where it sort of ended. I think it was emotional there, too. You know,
what were people saying? I mean,
well, the message that struck me the most at first, like I was saying earlier, is we have to stick together and we will protect you. And that was really poignant to me, because Joe had written a story earlier in which he went around and asked people sort of on the street and in local nonprofits, etc., well, you know, now what? and sort of their reaction. And one undocumented immigrant selling churros on the corner told him, "Who's going to fight for us?"
Wow.
And then the response at this rally was, "We are."
That's amazing. I just got goosebumps.
Yeah, I thought the fear was responded to well by the protesters. You know, you can make an argument about whether or not it's fair to say he's not my president after there was like widespread concern on the left that Donald Trump supporters would not support the outcome of an election if it didn't go their way. And now here are people protesting because it didn't go their way. But my sense really was that this wasn't so much an indictment of the political process as it was coming together and expressing anger and outrage and frustration and fear and disappointment.
And it seems like that's healthy, you know, to deal with what people are going through. I mean, as long as it's peaceful, you know, but it seems like that's, and just to bring it really quick to some of the interviews you did yesterday with, you know, schools and how educators are addressing this with children, you know, and youth, it seems like people are really trying to create a space to talk about this and to heal, you know, and to kind of express the way people are feeling and just kind of get it out. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I don't have a very good sense of what's going on school campuses right now, because I haven't actually been able to get into one of those conversations that teachers are having with their students. But from what I'm hearing from educators, yeah, it sounds like everybody is a little raw, especially in schools where many of the students and their families are low income and are immigrants. And there's definitely a rampant fear of deportation. And I'm hearing that that's coming up a lot, that parents are bringing their kids to school, you know, in tears, asking, "Are we going to be separated? Is, you know, is her father, is his mother going to be sent back?" Yesterday, I talked to somebody who was marching in that protest with her young child in a stroller, and was saying, you know, my partner's entire family is worried we're going to be separated. And they're not just worried, you know, that they're going to find people who have a criminal record, you know, dig them up at all costs and deport them. They're worried that it'll expand from there, that now anybody, no matter what you do, even if you keep your nose clean, if your papers are not in order, that you'll be deported.
Right.
Which, you know, fits into the narrative that we're hearing. And also, they're worried that if they go back to visit in their home country, that they won't be allowed back in, that things will be so tight and so hostile that they just won't be able to come back. They can't risk it. They feel like they can't move at all.
Right.
and yeah, one of the organizers of yesterday's protest is also a teacher at a local school. And she was saying that the kids have a lot of emotions that they don't really know what to do with.
Wow.
You know, that they sort of have to guide them through it. And the teachers, of course, are also distraught and unsure what to do and trying to comfort each other while also trying to comfort the children and give them guidance. And it's tough.
Wow. I mean, yesterday at the protest, were there any kind of solutions or anything tossed around of what the next steps are? Moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, again, there was this conversation about we have to stick together, we have to support each other, we have to be there for people who are marginalized more so now than they were before. You know, we have to be open to one another and be kind to one another. We have to make sure we're not divided by identity politics.
Right.
And move forward.
Right.
And I think there's also, you know, in the local elections, as this was happening, as you can tell from our conversation about this, as the election was happening, our usual focus, laser focus on super local issues has completely been blown up because it was all about the national. Yeah. And
congratulations, Hillary Ronan.
Right. I mean, you know, we're mentioning this 2/3 of the way through this program.
Right.
Hillary Ronan will be the next supervisor for District 9. And that would have been huge news. But I think even she was saying, you know, this is great, but oh my God.
What's happening on the national stage?
Everything is dampened by, this shocking sweep in the opposite direction from what we were expecting.
My fear is we're going to be talking about Trump for the next couple of months. I mean, you know, it's just,
we're gonna be talking about him forever.
I know, yeah. I'm tired.
I thought it was gonna be over. And you know, one of the things we were talking about before the election was, is the local roaring trade of Donald Trump pinatas going to collapse overnight with the election of Hillary Clinton?
I mean, I guess that could have answered. Pinatas were still being burned. I read, I think it was in LA, that a Trump pinata was being burned at one of the protests, so they're still out there.
Oh my God.
They're still around. We should follow up on that.
They are still around. I mean, yeah, someone was asking, is it going to be some kind of crime now to burn the effigy of the president or destroy the effigy of the president?
That's a really good point.
I don't know. It was already kind of a powerful symbol, arguably offensive, if, you know, before he was elected president, and now it's like, wow, this is a whole new level.
I know. We should definitely follow up.
And, I mean, there, you know, it's also an interesting story in how these like topics intersect, because I know one local vendor has to invent creative ways to get the components of the piñatas across the border from Mexico, because border patrol agents are trying to shut it down. And then she has to be very creative about that.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely be talking about this for a while. We'll see what's happening. Another thing that I read this morning that I thought was interesting, CalExit, the hashtag.
Right.
You said you met some people yesterday at the protest that were kind of championing for that as well, right? For California to...
Oh, I mean, I met one person.
Okay.
Who was standing in front of City Hall.
It's a thing, apparently.
Yes, with a sign and encouraging people to get on board with the movement for California to secede from the union. Wait, you said it was getting some traction in the tech community?
Yes. I'm not quite sure where these entrepreneurs are from. I think they're local. But yeah, at least three tech entrepreneurs, CEOs, have said that they would support the secession if California were to step out. with money, of course.
Wow.
So it's real.
Okay.
At least the conversation is happening.
I mean, it's big enough to be its own country on the national scale. So yeah. I guess, sure. I really don't know how to feel about this.
I would be down. Let's separate at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels to me the same way that people who are saying they're going to leave the country because of right. this, you know, like, all right, screw this, I'm out. Right. Which I certainly understand as a dual citizen. I have that option. I have yeah. the luxury of having that option. But it does seem a little bit like, you know, wanting to shut your eyes to this whole thing.
Right.
And just, you know, wait for it to blow over.
Well, Laura, we have to stay here and report on what's happening.
I know.
So we can't leave yet.
Yeah. Our editor enticing. Was making threats of shutting down Mission Local if Donald Trump were to win. And we're not going to shut down.
No, we can't do that yet.
No, I don't think we can. And I think, you know, I'm seeing a lot of conversations also from local reporters and journalists and editors about journalism in this age.
Right.
You know, we've heard this term post-fact society thrown it around a couple of times. I think it's really interesting to see that, you know, horrifying to see that mm-hmm. happening, to see that people are arguing against facts because they have opinions. But also there's, you know, a lot of reckoning to do, I think, among the media. How much did we contribute to this?
Right.
I think every outlet right now is looking back at its coverage and being like, okay, what can we learn from this?
A bit of a reality check.
How can we do better? Yeah. Maybe I'm naive and some places are not doing that at all. And they're like, great job, guys.
<That's> Killed it with the coverage.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I ran into at the chapel, you know, on election night, I ran into my old journalism professor, my former journalism professor.
Oh, yeah. What did he have to say?
It was, well, I haven't seen him in years, but it was interesting because he, too, was, you know, just kind of saying, it's a failure of education nationwide. And then, you know, as an educator, he's saying that. And he's saying a failure of journalism. And he was really disappointed. He works for the journalism department at SF State. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of an interesting conversation. And I think, you know, for us, we definitely kind of have to reflect on how well of a job we did. You know, or
yeah.
not us necessarily, but...
Well, but, you know, why not? You know, mm-hmm. I think we're all of us... All three of us reporters are thinking about what comes next for local coverage.
Right.
What will local coverage contribute to? You know, how can we be useful?
Right.
What is going to matter? How can we continue to try and develop a sustainable model for journalism, which is what we've been trying to figure out for a while now, mm-hmm. with mixed results. I think on the journalism front, doing pretty well. On the sustainability front, yeah.
It's been kind of rough.
But yeah, I mean, I think that will be our role going forward, is trying to continue to do reporting
right.
Rather than think pieces. I think this show is as close to think pieces as we get.
Can express ourselves a little bit.
Yeah. And that's sort of the plan, is just keep on trucking. And for me, that was something that was really difficult to accept, is that all we can really do is keep going.
Yeah.
You know, like, do more of the same, do it different, but
right.
continue to work, continue to do reporting. And sometimes I wonder if anybody cares.
People care.
But right. And I think we see, especially with protests of this scale, I mean, there was probably 1,500, 2,000 people out there yesterday.
Wow.
That's not bad. That's not a bad turnout. That's a lot of people who care. Whether you agree with them or not, you know, these people are out there raising hell, peacefully.
Exactly.
And so they're continuing
and
to
mobilize. I think that's important to note as well. You know, there were no arrests yesterday, correct?
As far as I know, no. I mean, we haven't had a recap yet
yeah.
come in from the police department, so we don't know for sure. But yeah, I didn't see any.
But I think that says a lot too,
where
we're at as a city, you
right.
know, and you're saying the support and the unity and the organizing. And I think that's really great.
I think you can hear them out on Mission Street right now.
Oh my gosh, is that... Oh wow.
Okay, you guys, I think we have to go report.
We gotta go.
I think Mission Local has to get back out on the street and do some more work here.
They're passing us, let's go.
All right, well, it's been great. This has been Mission Local. We'll be back 2 weeks from now. And if you have anything to let us know about, we're at info@missionlocal.com. Thanks for listening.